Now, though, it is time to talk to our gadget detective, who I'm sure is just as thrilled can be about news of the royal engagement. Fevzy, how are you feeling this afternoon?
Well, I'm very well, but I was perturbed for a moment when you referred to a nude heel because I thought you meant Harry. But No, we won't go there.
We are trying, though, to help the royal couple plan their wedding, which we're hoping will be here in Sussex, because apparently the likelihood is they will be handed the title Duke and Duchess of Sussex. So people have been coming forward with suggestions as to wedding venues, suggestions as to how they might be able to help. So, for example, we've had this from the lovely Brian in Crawley. He has suggested that their wedding should be at his old school, Christ Hospital in Horsham. Apparently it's got a huge flat roof. I'm not sure if he's planning on guests congregating on the roof. I don't know. It can seat 800 people.
What could possibly go wrong?
Well, exactly. He says they also have a superb military band there and a full orchestra, both known worldwide.
Wow.
Sounds like a good choice, I think.
Impressive.
Now, I imagine you're quite handy with a camera. Could we get you signed up as royal photographer?
Or? I wish. Can you
Maybe.
Imagine the joy? I will bask in their reflected glory.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, you are here not to talk about the royal wedding, but to talk about gadgets. We were talking a little bit earlier on to our newspaper guest about drones. A lot of the papers today about them sort of clamping down as far as drones are concerned in terms of kind of private use. And I don't want to upset you or any other gadgety, I was going to say geeks, but I won't, out there, gadgety people. I don't really get it. I don't really understand why, you know, Joe Bloggs wants a drone for his back garden.
Well, I mean, people have been flying model aircraft for generations, haven't they? I mean, I think I had one as a child, frankly, so I crashed it.
But drones are a little bit different. I don't believe any flights at Gatwick have nearly had a near miss with someone's model aircraft.
Well, yeah, because they're more advanced. I mean, I suppose the attraction is, you know, you can take some fantastic aerial photography with a lot of these drones. They have, you know, great high-definition cameras on them. Also, I understand quite good for getting contraband into prisons, but
probably not. Probably less we say about that,
not
the better.
Advice you.
No.
Well, no, but anyone who wants to do that knows how to. But yeah, there has to be a bit more regulation and some changes to this technology as well. There are some drones that you can put ring-fenced areas into it, so that they have maps on board and they know where they're not meant to fly, so they can't fly near prisons and airports and so forth.
But haven't you got a privacy issue as well? I mean, you know, if you buy your dad one of these and he's flying it up in the back garden, it's going over next door's fence, they might not be so happy about that.
There are clearly privacy issues, and there are rules about how you're meant to fly and what you're meant to do with it. So there are rules about that. I mean, people have no expectation of privacy in public, but they have an expectation of privacy in their backyard, I would suggest. That's clearly an issue, and I think there was a quite well-known case in America where a neighbour shot down his neighbour's drone.
Only in America.
Yeah, he actually shot it down, which, you know, is quite impressive when you think about it. But I can't remember who won that one, but I think he had to give it back.
Right.
After he shot it, he wasn't allowed to mount it on the wall.
And yet there will be people thinking of buying drones for Christmas presents.
Yeah, and they're not a bad thing, but, you know, it's one of these things where people should have some basic training and they should register and be responsible about it. You know, it's like with, you know, with anything else, you give a kid a skateboard, it'd be a good idea to, you know, teach them how to ride it, you know, so that it's safe and considerate. And I think that's the problem. We're going to see a lot more of these because the technology is getting a lot cheaper. I think the government will force registration here, and I hope the technology will improve to make sure that it's not possible to fly drones near airports and so forth, because it isn't the way things are going. I mean, the number of near misses, I fear it's a matter of time before something very bad happens. And you know, you can just think about all the ways in which these devices can be misused.
Absolutely,
it is a worry.
Legislation needs to kind of keep up with technology, I guess. If you have a question for Fevzy, you can give us a call, the number 03459 570057, or you can text 81333, start your message with the word radio. Now, it might be that you're having problems with the technology you currently own, or it might be with Christmas very nearly upon us, you're looking at buying some new piece of gadgetware and could do with some advice. Do get in touch with Fevzy's here with us until 2:30.
Serving Surrey and North East Hampshire.
BBC Surrey.
It's 20 past two and we're talking gadgets. Oh, speaking of which, you'll be pleased to know my car got fixed. Woohoo! You might not have cared in the slightest, actually, but I've told you now. Fevzy, you're not any good when it comes to cars, are you?
Fixing them, no.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Oh, dear.
Unless
but
it's the electronics, I might have a go at
you
that.
You might have a go at that.
Not the engine.
But you are good at all other gadgets, and people can give you a call now if they're having a problem with the technology in their lives. They can call 03 459 570057. Got a question for you, Fevzy, from John. Mm-hmm. So he's looking to buy a new TV. Is it worth buying a smart TV? What are the benefits?
Right, so a smart TV is one that allows you to watch programs that are broadcast to it via the internet, essentially. So instead of coming in through an aerial or a satellite dish, although it can do those as well, you can connect it to your home internet and bring programs in via services such as YouTube or BBC iPlayer or many others. So obviously that's a good thing to have, assuming you have an internet connection at home. I would say that it's not a feature that I would pay a lot extra for. I would go for the TV with the best picture and sound and that met your other needs.
Oh, okay.
And the reason it is because you can buy something like a smart TV add-on box for any TV, be it a smart TV or a non-smart TV, and give it that functionality. And in a way, that's a better solution because smart TVs tend not to be the best, that technology that's built into them. It's a bit like, it's because it's becoming a jack of all trades. So sometimes, for example, they don't update the software. So a lot of people with TVs have recently been complaining because their TVs are no longer compatible with the latest version of iPlayer. And the reason for that is not the BBC's fault, it's actually the manufacturer's fault because they know about TVs, but they're not used to making a product that they have to support, you know, through updates. So they just want to sell you it and forget it. It's not to say you never get an update, but they can be few and far between. Now, that can be a security risk, but it can also mean that eventually your TV ceases to be compatible and you don't get the full range of apps. So I would say, you know, if it's got the technology built in, fine, play with it. If you're happy, great. But at the point where either you buy one without it or you cease to be happy with it, then buy something like an Amazon Fire TV box or dongle and do it that way. And the other tip I'd give you is get one, either smart TV or add-on, where you can not only connect via Wi-Fi, but also via a cable, an Ethernet cable. Because if you can do that now or in the future, that's going to give you a much better viewing experience, far less sort of pausing whilst it sort of loads up a bit more.
And can you stream from your mobile phone if you've got a smart TV?
Yes, often you can do that. And again, you know, if you've got the right sort of either technology built into the TV or the add-on, then so, you know, Apple have their own standard for doing it. There's another one called Miracast, which allows Android and other devices to do the same. So, yeah, you can sort of stream into the TV, into the phone, and then cast it onto the big screen. So that's quite a nice thing to be able to do as well. And, you know, Google do little add-ons that allow you to do that as well.
Because we have seen, you mentioned security concerns, and we have seen some scare stories, haven't we, about smart TVs watching your every move. Is that something to be worried about?
It's something to be aware of. So particularly the high-end TVs, I think Samsung TVs suffered from this. The way that the speech recognition works, so you're able to speak to the TV instead of just doing it via remote control, which is great, except that the way that works is it makes a recording of your voice and it sends that recording to a computer somewhere else over the internet, which then works out what that recording means and then tells the TV what to do. The TV is not smart enough to work it out itself. It's a bit like an echo unit. You know, it records the voice, sends it off, and then acts on the answer. Now, the problem with that is that there are obviously potential security issues, particularly because it was found that some of these TVs, not necessarily the Samsungs, were listening all the time, not just when you say, you know, when you're talking to them. Equally, some of the TVs have got cameras built into them so that you can do gestures in front of them, and not those sort of gestures. But the
sort what sort of gestures are we talking?
Well, like, you know, you wait, you sort of swipe left or right, you know.
Oh,
or,
okay.
Or you put your hand up, make it stop, that sort of thing. But again, it's watching you. Some of that is nice. Like, for example, there are TVs that detect when you fall asleep and turn themselves off. And I think that's a really nice energy-saving feature. It first of all turns off the picture, because it thinks maybe you just stepped out the room so you could still hear the sound, and then it'll turn off everything and switch itself off. So those sorts of things are nice, but again, you've got a camera trained on you, and it's a matter of how does one feel about that. I personally wouldn't be too comfortable with that.
Gosh, so much. It's crazy when you think about how much we're being watched, perhaps without realizing it nowadays.
Yeah.
Your gadget of the week this week is the Kitsound Voice One smart speaker.
Yeah, so we're used to Amazon Echo units being the embodiment of she who is known as Alexa, the smart entity that you can speak to.
And of course, we've heard in previous weeks about your close relationship with Alexa.
I didn't know that.
There she is.
Always on hand.
Yeah. So this is a box made by Kitsound, K-I-T Sound. So it's interesting that they're using, you know, that standard now in third-party equipment. So it will answer questions. It will play Apple Music or Spotify or internet radio. It will allow you to do multi-room connectivity, so you can connect up to 8 of these devices wirelessly around your home, so you can go from room to room listening to the same music and conducting that conversation. I guess one of the big differences between this and the units produced by Amazon is that the speaker set in this is more powerful. It's got a pair of stereo speakers blasting outside, and it's got a sort of a subwoofer with a bass port at the back, so if you place it fairly near the wall, it will give you a good sort of bass resonance to it as well. So I think it's worth checking out. I did test it a little bit, and would you like a demonstration of a couple of things?
Oh, I'd love a demonstration.
Okay. Well, one of the things it does, I mentioned it plays music, but you know, when you're getting on a bit like me and you can't always remember the name of a song, you can give it a lyric. So we can just try this. Yeah.
Okay.
So Alexa, what's that song that goes, "The world was never meant for one as beautiful as you"?
Oh, she's
Vincent,
not talking.
Oh. By Don McLean.
Sorry,
starry night.
Clever. She's clever, Alexa.
Alexa, stop.
Oh.
You have to be a bit loud with this one.
She's very obedient, though.
Firm.
At first, I thought maybe you'd upset her. She wasn't talking to you, but then she came straight in.
She was thinking about it.
Yeah.
Let's have a look. What else can she do? Alexa, what's the weather like in Brighton?
Currently, in Brighton, it's 50 degrees with partly sunny skies. Today, you can expect showers with a high of 53 degrees and a low of 38 degrees.
All right, Alexa, she's doing me out of a job. I've got to do that myself. I've got to do that myself in a couple of minutes.
What's interesting about that is when I asked the Amazon box the same question, she gave the answer in centigrade. Whereas I noticed this one gave it in Fahrenheit. But I suspect that's a setting that you've got the Alexa app that you can probably change around. But it is interesting that it sort of defaulted to something different. So all in all, it's £119,
okay,
which reflects the sort of the size of the speakers and so forth. Or you can get two for, I think, a shade under 200. So if you want to do the multi-room thing, I've given it 4 stars out of 5. I just liked the fact that it's independent. Oh, by the way, it's got Bluetooth, so you can attach external speakers either via Bluetooth or via a wire as well. So if you're not happy with those speakers and you want a really big set of speakers powering, you can do that as well. So lots of fun to be had, and it's also different in style. The Amazon units are sort of cylindrical by and large. This one is a sort of more like an obelisk. If you think of 2001, it's sort of this tall grey obelisk with a single eye.
How does it compare cost wise then?
It depends on which one you're comparing it to. There are Echo units are significantly cheaper,
right?
But it really depends what you want in terms of the speaker configuration. I would say, you know, I wouldn't worry too much about the speakers, because I would tend to try and connect a better pair of speakers to it anyway. But if you're not inclined to do that, then this one from Kitsound is not a bad choice for that reason. I think the microphones on the Echo from Amazon might be a little bit more sensitive, but I'm still testing that.
Okay. Another story that caught my eye recently was this car that was stolen from outside somebody's house by thieves who didn't even have the key.
Yeah.
Now, as I was saying earlier, I've had a bad run of luck as far as my car's concerned. So last week when it broke down, I hired a car and it was a much fancier car than I normally drive. And you didn't need to use a key. You just pressed a button. It was all very James Bond. Mm. But then I did think, well, hang on a minute. Yes, it's all great, but there could also be some problems with this. So, for example, it would be very easy to lose the fob, wouldn't it? If you can just start your car without the key, you could end up somewhere miles away from your fob, no? Mm-hmm. I hadn't really thought about this, but, I mean, is this a real problem, thieves going around nicking people's cars?
So this is a video. It's on the BBC website. It was posted by West Midlands Police, and I note it was also tweeted out by Surrey Police as well, who've sent it out as a warning, I think. What it shows is two individuals going onto a driveway where there's a prestige car on the driveway. One of them is carrying, they're dressed in white as well, with sort of like matching outfits. It's very strange. Very chic criminals. But one of them has got this sort of device in his hand that he's holding both hands, and he walks up to the front window of the house and he holds it up to the window. And within 10 seconds, the other guy or woman is standing by the door and has another device in their hand. And what's happening is they are triggering, using the first device, the fob inside the house to send out a code to trick it into thinking it's opening the car.
Oh, I see.
That code is then sent to the other device, which then pops the car open and away they go. And that's a worry, because at the very least, it depends on the make and model, but at the very least they're going to get in, and if it's the right stroke wrong sort of car, it will enable them to drive it away as well and overcome any security measures that are there, because it'll think it's you. And the advice that the police gave was essentially to put a sort of Thatcham crook lock on it, which, you know, you pay all that money for a car with this advanced security and they tell you to put a crook lock. Sometimes old school is better.
I was going to say, it does beg the question, what was wrong with using a car key in the first place?
Yeah.
You know, just stick your key in, you know where you are with that.
It is interesting. Sometimes we do things because we can.
Yeah.
And they're not always better. I was trying to think of, I'm going to do some tests on this, by the way, but I was trying to think about, you know, how one could prevent this. I mean, obviously one thing is maybe store your key towards the back of the house to give it, so it doesn't have the range to reach the front. Another possible solution, I have to test this, is if you put it in a metal cage, a metal box, then that should, in principle, act as a Faraday cage, which should block electromagnetic waves.
Okay.
And, of course, we all have one of those in the house. It's called the microwave.
So keep your car fob in the microwave.
Well, I can't say that yet, because also people may forget it and switch it on, and that's going to cause all sorts of problems. But, you know, so don't send me the bill when you ruin your car keys and set fire to your house.
Yeah.
But
that could be problematic.
In principle, because it must be some form of, because it goes through walls, these signals, because I sometimes lock my car door, you know, from the front room.
Yeah.
Because it goes through walls, I'm assuming that it's transmitting some sort of electromagnetic wave, some sort of radio signal, in essence. And it should be possible to stop that radio signal being transmitted out of the house if you put it in a safe box, you know, which is effectively an all-metal box or a mesh box.
Oh,
so I'm going to do a little experiment to see
Let us know how you get on with that.
I'm going to put my fob in a metal box and try and activate it and see if it will unlock my car.
I just think maybe, like you say, just stick with what you know. Stick with an old-fashioned key, because we had a situation. Was it earlier this year? It was my daughter's birthday party, and one of her friend's fathers has a very fancy car. Anyway, he obviously accidentally dropped the fob of this fancy car into the gift bag. Yeah. So as I was going through all of Lois's presents, I was obviously thrilled to see that she'd been gifted a Porsche. So I had to message him and say, really, this is just far too generous. We can't possibly accept this for our five-year-old's birthday.
So I've sold it.
Yes. But of course, he managed to drive away without the fob, but then wouldn't have been able to then start the car again, because the fob, obviously I had the fob. So I don't know. I'm not sure it's always the best idea.
No. And the other thing is, when you do, if it wears out, or you lose it. You know, they're you know, £100-200 plus.
Yeah.
These fobs, they're expensive.
Linda is in Worthing. She says, what about if you put your keys in foil?
Well, in principle, it should do the same thing.
Although you're going to look really weird. I'm just putting that out there.
I'm sorry, it sounds like Tin Hat Brigade, doesn't
it? Yeah, you're going to look really odd.
I think, look, the answer, Linda, is try it. Put it in foil, press the button and see if your car can be activated. If it can't, then they can't do it to you either.
Very quickly, in 60 seconds, because we're out of time, Peter in Port Slade says, I have a new router that's been sent to me by TalkTalk, but the only lights that come on green are power and wireless, while the internet light stays off.
Right.
And I've had no internet at home with my laptop since September.
Okay, so it sounds as if the internet signal is probably not reaching the router. It's possible that the router is not at fault, but that the internet service is not working. You've said that you've had nothing to your laptop. I guess the way to test it would be to plug a computer into the router using an Ethernet cable and see if that works. If that doesn't work either, then the likelihood is that the internet signal is not reaching the router because there is a problem with the service coming into your router. So then you would speak to TalkTalk about that.
Right, I hope you get that sorted. If people want to find out more, how can they do that, Fevzi?
Twitter. Come and say hello at Gadget Detective on Twitter, and I will attempt to solve some of your problems there.